Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Amen. Just thinking about the amazing volunteers that we have. Lead us in worship. Let's give them a hand. Incredible. Thank you. Thank you, team. Okay, let me see if I can find something to put my Bible and my notes on. I can't hold it and preach it and talk it and do all that. I'm not one of those multitaskers. Thank you. Hi, everybody. You glad to be here tonight? I'm glad you're here. I could probably sing one of these songs to you if I could read the music. So since I can't read the music, I'll just put the music down and we'll open our Bible. Sound good? How many of you bring your Bible with you to church? You have your Bible here. You have your Bible here, some of you, and you have your Bible in the front row. I'm pretty sure that all of us can get a Bible somehow tonight. So let's get a Bible. Let's get a Bible and let's jump into God's Word. Are you ready? I am ready. I was captured in our worship set tonight with two statements from two different songs, and I wrote them down on my notes. And I want to tell you what they were. And the first one was that, God, you wrestle with the sinner's heart. Oh, that's such a reality. How often does God wrestle with our hearts? How often are there things that are going on in our lives and God is trying to get our attention and God is moving and God is trying to work and there's this wrestling match that goes on. And if we're honest and we really take enough time to look at it, sometimes that's even daily. There's just this wrestling going on. Should I? Shouldn't I? Is this what you're saying? And there's this reality that God wrestles with the sinner's heart. Why does he do that? Because he is not an absentee God. He is a God that is always there, and he's a God that wants to be involved in our lives. And so that statement hit me. And then this other one, take us back to wonder. Oh, that's a powerful statement. Take us back to wonder. Do you remember the times, and maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was today, maybe it was last year, maybe it was a different decade, when you were just filled with the wonder and the awe of God and just thankful for the things that God was doing in your life? If we've lost that, I wonder if maybe we're living in the midst of our series. We started a series in the beginning of June, and we're doing a New Testament series on weekends and an Old Testament series on Wednesday nights. And the one that we're doing on Wednesday nights, for those of you that have not been here, from sea to sea, and it's on your outline, from sea to sea, from desert to destiny. And we've been looking at the journeys of the children of Israel and what that really looks like and how we actually live that out. And so we've spent several weeks doing that. We have a few more weeks that we're going to do that. And I want to maybe issue a challenge to all of us tonight in the context of what we're going to talk about, because here's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I don't want us to just jump ahead too far and say, oh, I know what that means. Because sometimes knowing what something means and living out what God wants us to do in the midst of knowing that can be two different things. We're going to talk about what it really means to be led by God. What does that really look like? What does it really mean to be led by God? The 40 years, the journeys in the wilderness, why didn't God just give us the Cliff Note version? Why didn't he just say they started here and they ended here and they crabbed a lot? Or they started here and they did okay and they crabbed a lot and then I delivered them. But he went to great lengths in several books of the Bible to tell us some specifics. So there's something significant about being led by the Lord. And I don't believe for a minute that when we give our lives to God, that we somehow receive this divine download that now all of a sudden allows us to be led by the Lord automatically all of our lives. We have to make some choices along the way. And so I want you, as we dive into this, and I'm talking to myself too, I got a couple things swimming around in here. I got tonight swimming around in here, and I got this weekend swimming around back here, and I'm pushing this weekend back here. So I'm trusting that as we dive in tonight that we can look at what it really means to be led by the Lord. When I was sitting in the green room before most of you got here tonight, I was thinking this, that some of you probably came, you rushed from work. You probably didn't go home and eat. Some of you probably change your schedules on Tuesday, on Wednesdays to be able to come. You make a sacrifice to be here, and I'm grateful that you're here, and I'm thankful that you're here. And so my prayer tonight has been and is going to continue as we get into God's Word, that God will just reveal something to you special, significant tonight, that will just encourage you and inspire you to continue to be led by God in spite of where you're at, what you're going through, and what's happening. We've been studying the Exodus of the children of Israel. We know what that looks like by now. We know that God said, I've seen the misery. He says in Exodus chapter 3, it's not in your outline, so I'm going to read it to you. But he says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and into a good and spacious land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, the home of all the ites, and then it names all of the ites that are in there, Canaanites, Ammonites, Perizzites, da-da-da-da-da. And now the city of the Israelites has reached me in the cry as well, and I've seen the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So go now, I am sending you, this is the Lord speaking to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. God's plan all along for us is that He would lead us every day of our lives. Not that there would just come this moment when we would give our lives to God and then we would have to try to figure it out from here on out. God's desire is that He would lead us. And so I want to give us a few things tonight that we can look at from the story of the children of Israel, Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel. And we can kind of examine whether or not we are living the way that God would want us to live in such a way that He could lead us and we would have joy in our hearts. Sometimes those two are not connected. Sometimes we feel like we're being led by God, but there's a joy that's missing in our heart for some reason. And so I want you to start with me on your outline. And Exodus chapter 13, it's on the top of your outline, says this. The Israelites left Succoth, and they camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them, and He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud. How many of you would like to have that? How many of you would like to have this pillar of a cloud in front of you and then providing at night this pillar of fire? I'm thinking that's pretty good stuff. I could go for that, Lord. This allowed them to travel by day or night, and the Lord did not remove the pillar or the cloud, the pillar of fire, from its place in front of the people. So God had in His mind, He developed this way that He wanted to lead His people. And He was going to have a cloud and a pillar of fire. So He was going to have something between them that was going to lead them to where He wanted them to go. Let me just say this as we dive in answering the question, what does it mean to be led by God? How many of you would agree with me, first of all, that God wants to lead your life? God wants to lead us, but we cannot dictate the terms or the conditions. God's plan was then to use a pillar and a cloud to lead the children of Israel. God has a plan for leading us and leading our lives, and we don't get to choose the terms. And I think oftentimes when things are not happening the way that we want them to happen or the way that we think they should happen, we can get discouraged and we can get disappointed. And so often we see that with the children of Israel. So I want us to look at a few things that will help us understand what it means to be led by God personally on God's terms. Because some of us have been waiting for God to answer prayer and do things for years in our lives. And we've somehow associated that with God. Have I missed you? God, are you disappointed with me? God, are you angry with me? So let's look at a few things. And the first one is this, and I want you to write this down, but I want to explain it because I think we need to pause a little here as we dive into this message. The leading of the Lord, and we're talking about the leading of the Lord. God said, I have heard the cry of my people, and now I'm making a choice. Moses, you're the man that I'm raising up, and I want you to go and I want you to deliver them out of this bondage and out of this slavery. and they're going to have a cloud and a pillar to follow. So what do the children of Israel do with those crazy things? What do they do with these things that God says, I am going to use to lead you? Number one on your outline is this. Write it down, please. The leading of the Lord requires trust. Now, we say that often. We say often, we sing about it often. It's in so many songs that we sing, and it's in so many declarations, Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you. I said just a minute ago, this is not something, learning to be led by God, is not something that is a divine download that happens one time in our lives, and then it's all going to work out. When we're talking about being led by the Lord, we need to think steps. And I want you to think about that. When we're talking about trusting God, we're talking about taking steps. We're not talking about a program that God has put together. So when we're talking about the leading of the Lord requires trust, we're talking about that it requires steps. There's got to be steps that I am willing to take. And sometimes those steps are baby steps, and some of those steps are bigger steps. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes those little steps seem easier to take than the bigger steps. John, will you come up here? Pastor John, will you bring these two chairs over here? I thought about something today, and I thought about a different way to illustrate what I'm talking about. So he's going to bring those two chairs over here, put them on the carpet for me, because I don't want to put them on the wood floor because I don't want somebody to get hurt. So if you'll just put these two chairs here, let me tell you what I was thinking about today. I need somebody to volunteer, and I'm just going to ask somebody. I'm just going to pick somebody out of the crowd. I promise you I'm not going to have you say anything. I'm just going to have you come up here and help me out a little bit. So let me look around. Don't look down hoping that I'm not going to call on you, because I know your name whether you're looking down or not. So everybody keep looking at me. I'm going to call somebody out. Sarah, will you come up here and help me? Sarah, did you know I was going to call you? Sarah, come up here for just a second. Now, the leading of the Lord requires trust. How many of you would agree with me? Okay? And I want you to think steps, okay? What does that mean, steps? Sarah, will you step up on one of these chairs for me and face this other chair, okay? So, I want you to step onto that chair for me, okay? Okay, and then turn around and step back. That's possible. Yes? Okay. Step on that for me, okay? And step back. You didn't know you were coming to church and getting a workout. Okay? Now, can you step across there? Not really. No. Step down. Now step up. Okay. Now, is it not true that she got from point A to point B, but she had to make some different steps? Originally, when the chairs were this close, you could step across. No help needed. Yes? Okay. A little help needed there. Oops. That's a quantum leap. Thank you. Thank you. So, here, she did a good job. There are times in our lives that God is going to require that we take steps that are going to be simple, and they're going to become routine, and they're going to be steps that we do over and over and over, and we're going to do them without even having to think about them. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a step that God wants us to take, and we're going to have to rethink how we take that step. God still wants us to get from where we were to where He wants us to be, but we're going to have to go about it a different way. Sarah had to go from the chair to the floor, up to the chair again. In our lives, God dictates the terms. We have to think when it comes to trust, think steps. How are you doing with baby steps in trusting the Lord? It doesn't have to be the quantum leaps. It doesn't have to be the gigantic steps. Sometimes it's the baby steps in trusting the Lord that are going to allow you to take the bigger steps that are not going to be so routine. Here's what I was thinking about, and let me just give you three simple ways. It's not on your outline, but I wrote it down on mine today. I was thinking, how could I relate this to you in a way that maybe other than the chairs, you can hear what I'm saying. When I lived in Fort Collins for 5 years, my sons were 8 and 9 at the time, and I used to love to take them to Horsetooth Reservoir. And I had a plan that I wanted them to learn with confidence to jump off of these high rocks at Horsetooth Reservoir. So this 30-foot cliff at Horsetooth Reservoir had this spot where you could stand and jump from that cliff into the water. Now, if I as a father would have taken my sons at 8 and 9 years old up to that 30-foot high ledge and asked them to step off and into the water, probably a couple of things would have happened. Probably they would have gotten injured, hurt, probably hurt pretty severely, probably would have broken some trust with them, probably all kinds of things would have happened to them that would have caused them to walk in fear for the rest of their lives. So what I did is I thought through a couple things, and here's what I want to tell you about what it means to trust God with steps. First, it's this. God is going to allow you, oftentimes in your life, easy steps. There's going to be easy steps. God's going to give you an easy step. When I had my sons first jumping off that cliff, I would have them stand 4 feet off of the water and jump in, almost off like a diving board, and then jump in, and then up to 6 foot, and then up to 8 foot, and then up to 10 foot. And so I started with easy. And so when it comes to the leading of the Lord and developing trust, God is going to give you some easy steps to take. But then after that, probably God is going to give you some obvious steps. It was obvious for Sarah to step from one chair to the next because I had set it up that way. And oftentimes in our lives, God sets these steps up that are in front of us that are obvious. There's not a whole lot of explanation. I've got two chairs that are 2 feet apart. It's obvious that I want you to step from this chair to this chair. Probably didn't even have to tell her that. And she would have stepped from one to one and back and forth. There are times that God gives us easy steps. Then there are times that God gives us obvious steps. Why is he doing that? He's doing all of that to get us to the place where we learn to trust him. Because if you don't trust God in your leading, in his leading, exactly what happened to the children of Israel happens in our lives. Then after the easiest, the obvious, then oftentimes in God's mind and in the plan of God comes the strategic steps. And here's where I want us to dive into the message from this point. Strategic steps. There are strategic steps in front of you that God wants you to take that may not be easy and they may not be obvious, but they're strategic. The children of Israel had to walk out what God wanted them to walk out. And in the beginning, it was very easy because they've got a cloud and they've got a pillar. And so it's a no-brainer. And not only is it easy, it's obvious. But the longer that they walked with God, the more God intentionally caused those steps to now become strategic steps. So oftentimes, the longer we walk with God, the more the steps in following God become strategic. So in and with that, we have to pay attention. Because if we don't pay attention, we can miss what God wants to do in our lives. So let me give you a couple more things here when it comes to trusting God. With my sons, and I believe the Lord is the same way, I assessed their level of understanding when it came to jumping off of those rocks. I assessed their level of confidence. I assessed their skill level, and then I invited them to do something. Just jump off of this. Just jump into the water. So I assessed and then I invited. I believe God is the same way today. God assesses that he's laid out some easy steps. God assesses that he's laid out some obvious steps. Now God begins to lay out strategic steps along the way for us in his leading, and then he invites us to take those steps. Now, if we don't trust God, we will not take those steps. Not only that, let me give you number two. Number two is this. The leading of the Lord requires companionship with the unfamiliar. The leading of the Lord requires companionship with the unfamiliar. Here's what I mean by that. The children of Israel, as soon as God led them strategically into a place they'd never been before, they started saying, God, let us go back to the what? Let us go back to the familiar. Even though it was bondage, they wanted to go back to what was familiar. Let's be careful there, knowing this. God does not want us to go backwards. Amen? He does not want us to go backwards. He wants us to go forward. And the only way that we can go forward is if we allow him to lead us. And when he lays out strategic steps, then we follow those strategic steps. So I can't necessarily look around and I can't say, is everybody doing it? Because strategically, God may be asking me to take this step. And strategically, God may be asking you to take this step. So the leading of the Lord, again, requires then there's got to be some companionship with the unfamiliar. When I say the unfamiliar, not God being unfamiliar, the future being unfamiliar. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next week or next month holds, but I know that God does. And so I've got to allow things that are unfamiliar to become companions. And say, God, I trust you enough that you've led me in the past faithfully, that you'll lead me in the future. I thought about some Bible characters. Moses stepped out. God said, I'm calling you to lead my people. Moses stepped out. Joshua stepped in. God said, Joshua, as soon as you put your feet in the river, it's going to part. So Moses stepped out. Joshua stepped in. Ruth stepped over. Ruth stepped over cultural boundaries. Ruth stepped over lines you're not supposed to cross. Ruth stepped over those lines. God honored that, brought Boaz into her life, and the rest is history. There's times that God calls us to step out. There's times that God calls us to step in. There's times that God calls us to step over. God called Nehemiah to step through the rubble. Sometimes you got to step through the garbage and you got to step through the rubble and you got to say, God, I'm going to walk through this garbage and I'm going to walk through this rubble because you're leading me strategically and I trust you. And companionship with the unfamiliar is the reality of the Christian following God today. Amen? Say amen. The unfamiliar has to be a companion for us today. Because God's not going to write it all out. He didn't write it all out for the children of Israel. He expected some obedience. And he expected some faith. And so when we come back, and I know I spent a few minutes on the trust thing, but this is important because it isn't a program that you sign up for. It's steps. In your journey with God, some of the steps that you've taken have strategically gotten you to the point you are today because without it, you couldn't step through the rubble. Without it, you couldn't step into that river. Without it, you couldn't step out and lead someone. So God has brought you to that place. I think history proves this out. I think history proves out that the best leaders are oftentimes forged when they're following. When you look at the great men and the great women in Scripture, they became leaders because they were first great followers. And so we learn that pattern from following the Lord and then following other people. Joshua was a great leader, but he was first a follower. Caleb was a great leader, but he was first a follower. Joseph was a great leader, but first he was a follower. David was a great leader, but first he was a follower. So, companionship with the unfamiliar. In Numbers chapter 13, God has delivered the children of Israel. They've had quite the journey. They've had several experiences. God has shown himself faithful. God has proven himself over and over and over. How many of you could say amen confidently right now that God has proven himself to you over and over and over? God has done that over and over and over. So we come to the time in the Scriptures when God says, what I said to you, I want to fulfill. I have a land for you. I have a promise for you. It's flowing and filled with milk and honey, but you've got a responsibility. And I'm going to ask you to take a strategic step. So God rallies these leaders together, and this is where I want to read this in Numbers chapter 13. God rallies these leaders together, and he says, I want you to go ahead, and I want you to check some things out, and then I want you to come back and tell me what you've seen. Here's what the Bible says, Numbers 13. They came back to Moses and Aaron, all of these leaders representing each tribe, each of the tribes of Israel, and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them, the whole community. So they go and they spy out the land, they come back, they report the whole community, they report to them, and they show them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land, to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. They've got the proof. Here's the fruit. It's all there, just like God said, just like he said when we were in Egypt. It's all right there. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants. Now look at how this conversation is changing. Yeah, we went, and it was just like you said it was, God. The land is flowing, the fruit is big, all of that. And then the but word gets in the way. The people who live there are powerful, cities are fortified. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan River. Immediately, they're paralyzed. Immediately, they're paralyzed. So what has God done to this point? God has allowed some easy, some obvious, and now there's some strategic steps along the way, and they become paralyzed. Question on your outline, and it's right there for us. What was the last thing you did that required the Lord's direct involvement for you to succeed? And not only what was that, when it happened, did you move forward in spite of what you saw in the natural? Because what caused them to be paralyzed, and remember, the Lord is leading them. They're not just out there trying to figure out on their own what to do. God is leading them, but immediately they become paralyzed because they look and see in the natural. Let me just say this to you. If you're truly going to be led by the Lord in the day and the hour in which we live, then you cannot be moved by what you see in the natural. If you look at the political arena, if you look at the climate of the world that we live in, if you look at the conditions of the world that we live in, it will paralyze you from moving forward. So why would God put this story in the Bible? Because God in my life, just as he has in yours, has allowed a series of steps to take place to bring me to a strategic place in my life. And when I come to that strategic place, what is going to help me go forward is knowing that God has been faithful to lead me in the past. Their greatest days were yet ahead of them, but because of the choice right here that they make, they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Because they refuse to take these strategic steps. So, I want to encourage you to pause for just a few minutes in your own thinking. If God has brought you to a place and he's asked you to take a step and it's outside of your comfort zone and he wants you to become a companion with the unfamiliar, what are you doing with that? And I've got to ask myself the same question, because if I stay there and I freeze and I focus on what I see in the natural, then it's possible to miss what God has for me in the future, miss it or slow down God's desire for me to have it. I mean, the Bible is very clear and shows us that that can happen. So, not only do we have to trust God, not only do we have to be a companion with the unfamiliar, number three is this. The leading of the Lord requires that you silence the voice of unbelief. Silence the voice of unbelief. That battle that goes on between your ears, I don't know what it's doing. I don't know what it's saying. The battle that goes on between my ears, you don't know what it's saying. But if we don't silence the voice of unbelief, they did not silence the voice of unbelief. Somehow, those 12 leaders went into the land. They spied the land out, fruit in hand, the faithfulness, the provision of God in hand. But somehow, because they didn't silence the voice of unbelief, it kept them from receiving all that God had. So, where do you have to call a timeout, and where do you have to say, I am going to silence that voice of unbelief? God, I've been asking you to move in my family for a decade. God, I've been asking you to heal me for 5 years. God, I've been asking you to do this. God, I've been asking you to touch my sons. God, I've been asking you to do this. Whatever it is that you've been asking God to do, if you don't silence the voice of unbelief, it will run unsolicited in your mind, and it will violate you all the days of your life. Is that not true? Think about that. Think about what happens when you allow thoughts to go unchecked in your mind. What does it do? It violates you. No, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? And so here's a story of God desiring to lead the children of Israel, and they're in paralysis. They're in paralysis because they don't silence the voice of unbelief. God wants to lead you, and He'll lead you faithfully just like He has done in the past. He will do it in the present, and He will do it in the future. But if you don't silence the voice of unbelief, it will hinder what God wants to do. Here's what the Bible says Caleb said. They start crabbing and complaining. Caleb silenced the people. I wonder what that looked like. Did he say, shut up? Did he get mad? What did he do? You know, he had to wander for 40 years with them. I don't know how well I would do with that. If I was Joshua and Caleb and I know that I had to wander for 40 years because of somebody else, I might go find them in their tent at night and we might have a blanket party. I wouldn't be very happy, honestly. I'm being honest with you. I wouldn't be very happy. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and he said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." When was the last time you said that to yourself? Silence the voice of unbelief and said, I can certainly do this, not in my own strength, but because of the leading of God. Because God has told me to do it, I can do it. And if God tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. And no weapon is going to be formed against me. No gate of hell is going to keep me from going forward. Amen? Say amen like you mean it. So, the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They didn't silence the voice of unbelief. So, how do we break through that? How do we break through silencing the voice of unbelief? Number four, here's how you do it. The leading of the Lord, all of these, the leading of the Lord requires trust. The leading of the Lord requires that we become a companion with the unfamiliar. The leading of the Lord requires you silence the voice of unbelief. The leading of the Lord, number four, requires unconditional obedience. Unconditional obedience. That talks easy, but that's tough. I thought about this today when it comes to obedience. I went home and was thinking about my message a little bit tonight, and I wrote this on my notes. Obedience unlocks the power of God, but also the permission. Let me explain what I mean by that. Obedience will unlock the power of God, but it will also unlock the permission. God will never force us to go anywhere. God will not grab a hold of me and drag me into my inheritance. God will not drag me where He wants to take me. He gave the children of Israel the opportunity to spy out the land and say, that's yours, go get it. And it's the same thing today, spiritually speaking. We are children of the Most High. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us, so I have a pillar of fire that lives inside of me that leads me. So I don't need a physical pillar of fire. I have the fire of the Spirit of God living inside of me. So if God tells me to do something, I can go do it. Yes or no? So I can go do it. So it then requires an unconditional obedience. If God tells you to do it, don't look around for the cheering committee because it's not always going to be there. But when you walk in unconditional obedience, you unlock the power of God. If the children of Israel would have said, yeah, they're big, but our God is bigger, and they would have went in there, they had a mowed right over them. And they destroyed them, and they'd have wiped them out. But they didn't do that. So God gives a command to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy about obedience. And here's what he's saying, and he's trying to pass this on generationally. So he's saying to the people that have experienced some of the things of God, do me a favor. God's speaking here, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Do me a favor. Teach your kids. Teach those that are coming up after you. And here's what Deuteronomy chapter 8 says. Be careful. Why would God use that terminology? Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and you may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised you on oath to your forefathers. Remember, oh, that's so important. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert those 40 years. Why did He do it? To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. So unconditional obedience, and God is saying, be careful to follow all of the commands. God has such great things for you. God has such great things that He wants to do in your life. God has such great things that He wants to do in my life. And He has the answers. He has the solutions. He has all of that. And if we will walk through what it means to be led of the Lord and we'll learn the lessons from the children of Israel without having to repeat them, then we'll see God move in great ways in our life. Number five is this. The leading of the Lord requires recall of the past. The leading of the Lord requires recall of the past. I just read that in Deuteronomy. Be careful to follow every command. Remember how the Lord led you to humble you. He's reminding them to think about what God had done in the past. Last week, I was teaching at YWAM, and I was teaching in the SBF, which is School of Biblical Foundations, and my job was for those 4 days to go through all of the prophetic literature. So all of the minor prophets and all of the major prophets, their writings in the Old Testament, 17 books of the Bible where God speaks to what happens when God's people obey God, where God speaks to what happens when God's people don't obey God. 17 books. Think about the proportion of Scripture in the prophetic literature that God chose to let us have to teach us how important it is to recall the past. I had a plan for the children of Israel, and I have a plan for you, and follow me and be obedient to me and trust me, and I'm going to do these amazing things in your life. And God is still saying the same thing. So what must you do? Sometimes what you must do is you must recall the past, the faithfulness of what God did in the past, how God led you so faithfully. I could go back a day, I could go back a week, I could go back a month, I could go back 30 years, 31 years to see how God led me to Faith Bible Chapel, almost 31 years ago. And God's faithfulness, and I do it often. I recall the past often because sometimes the present is difficult. How many of you would agree with me? Sometimes the real world that we live in the present, and we look around and we think, man, this is tough stuff. It's hard, Lord. It's hard to press in. It's hard to be faithful. It's hard to focus on what you're saying and what you're doing in my life because there's lots of ites around. There's lots of giants around. There's lots of pressures. The day is coming when all of that will be gone. There is great joy in being led by the Lord, and I know that we all know that. There's great joy in being led by the Lord. So, are we doing what God has asked us to do? And I want to close with reading this scripture to you in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and then asking you a couple questions. Here's what Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9 say. Never forget these commands that I'm giving you today. Teach them to your children. Repeat them while you're at home and when you are away, when you are resting and when you are working. Tie them on your arms and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. So what would God, how would we unpack that in the year 2012? Everywhere you go, with every person you come in contact with, make sure that they know that you are led by God. You don't have to force things. Just the way that we live our lives, the way that we speak to people, says volumes to people about how we're living our lives. God desires to lead us, and He has great plans for us. And if it was easy, He wouldn't have spent so much time in the Scriptures telling us what specific steps that we need to take. So, I want to close by asking you a question. I started with trust. To be led by God, we have to trust God. Do you need to tonight? Do you need to take an easy step? Is there an easy step that you need to take that for whatever reason you haven't taken it yet? Maybe you just thought of it tonight, and maybe it's an easy step, and maybe it's a step, and maybe it's just that baby step like Sarah took when those chairs were so close. That was a no-brainer, right, Sarah? That was an easy step because the chairs are close and she can assess very quickly. I can do that. That's an automatic step that I don't even have to think about it. Second one, the same thing. But then all of a sudden, they'll start getting a little bit further away. And so maybe the step that you need to take tonight, maybe it's not an easy step, but maybe it's an obvious step. And maybe it's obvious to you, but to nobody else. But you know in your heart that God is saying, I want you to take this step. And I want to encourage you, take that step. Take that obvious step. Whether anybody else sees it, there is a reason that God would reveal that step. Maybe the step that God wants you to take tonight is a strategic step. When the children of Israel took certain steps, they were strategic steps, and they changed their destiny, and they changed their history, and they changed their future. One of the strategic steps that I took, and I didn't even know at the time that it was a strategic step, and I've told this story before, but the thought just hit me right now. The very first time I came to Colorado in 1981, God moved so on my heart, and I didn't know God from the man on the moon, and I mean no disrespect by saying that. But I came out here and visited a family, and it so touched my heart that when I got in my car to drive back to Southern California, I was being drugged, not physically, but I was being pulled. As I'm driving west, I'm being pulled back to Colorado. And when I got back to California, and my mother had just died. My mother was 38 years old, and she had died, and my family was traumatized. My dad is a widow at 42 years old. I have a 5-year-old brother at home, and I have 2 other siblings that are younger than I, and I'm honorably discharged from the Marine Corps because of hardship conditions. And something was inside of me that said, you got to go back to Colorado. And for me now, the last 31 years of my life have been shaped by that strategic step. I had no idea that at that moment that was a strategic step that was going to shape and change the whole course of my life. Absolutely the whole course. And I'm not here to tell you tonight that strategic step is going to be that monumental or that significant in your life, but what if it is? What if it is? So I want to pray for us tonight. And we had a great time in worship tonight, and the Spirit of God was here, and we spoke about the dry bones living. That's a prophetic portion of Scripture from the book of Ezekiel. God promising what He's going to do with the land and the nation of Israel. Every promise that God has ever made, He has fulfilled. And every promise that He has made, He will fulfill if He's not fulfilled it yet. And God has made and spoken promises over your life. And I want to pray that you would have the strength, and I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to pray as we close tonight, and certainly going to have some people come down here at the altar. And here's what I want to do, and I thought about this during worship. I want to pray for people tonight that need a boost of confidence to take an easy step, an obvious step, or a strategic step. But if you have the confidence to pray for someone, this might be risky, but I don't care. If you have the confidence to believe for somebody and you want to pray for somebody, in other words, you're in that place where you feel some confidence, but you want to pray for somebody, I want you to come right down here. I want you to come down here because you have the faith to pray for somebody. So whoever I'm talking to.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.